When I was a sophomore in college, I can remember sitting at a table in the library with my now wife, then girlfriend, Carrie, and I had been putting off studying for this test for way too long. It's the next day, finally, because my wife is studious, she had talked me into coming to the library and studying. So I'm sitting there, this test the next day, okay? Four guys walk into the library. They're all wearing swim trunks. They are loud, they are obnoxious, and they also happen to be my four closest friends. And I just know something is happening. And so they walk up and they said, "It's nice outside. We're going to the lake." I said, "Guys, I cannot go to the lake. I have a test tomorrow." And I can already see the look on Carrie's face like he's going to the lake. I'm like, "Guys, sorry. Carrie's right. I need to stay. I need to study." And they're like, "It's so nice. You can study tonight. Let's go to the lake." And I started doing the, like, look at Carrie, like, "What do you think?" And she's like, "I'm not your boss, but you know you need to study for this test." And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "You don't have to do everything your friends do." And guess what? That has always stuck with me. And I was reflecting on that as I was standing at the lake with my friends that day. I went to the lake. Nailed the test, though, did a decent job. I don't remember, so I must have at least passed it, or this would have been a sad story. I went to the lake. Because, why? My friends were going. You remember the saying, maybe your dad used to say it, my dad did, if all your friends were jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, would you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge? I don't know about you, but usually my answer was like, "Yeah, I think so." Like, if they're doing it, sure. We tend to go as our friends go. We tend to do as our friends do. I heard a quote, and I think it's true. "Show me your friends, and I will show you your future." The people that you spend time with tend to be who you are, is what you're growing into. Somebody else phrased it this way. You are the average of the five closest people in your life. So I want you to think about the people you spend time with, your closest friends, and ask yourself, what kind of person am I becoming? Am I becoming the person I want to be? Some of you may be struggling with certain parts of your life and you're like, "I don't know why I struggle with this." And then you look at your friends and you're like, "Oh wait, yes I do, because that's what my friends do." This throughout our school year, we've been looking at the topic of choosing, making the right choices. Been looking at some of the different passages in Proverbs. This week I've been given the topic, choose good friends. That sounds really easy. Just say, hey, just choose good friends. And so tonight we're going to split this lesson into two parts. First, I'm going to tell you why I think it's important to choose good friends, because I do. I think it's very important. I think it's going to shape who you are as a person. But I don't want to be the guy that just stands up here and like, you ought to pick good friends, knowing good and well that making friends is hard. And not all of us went out and there was a lineup and we're like, all right, you and you and you. You'll be my friends, let's go. It's not how it works. And so we're going to talk about why it's good to have good friends, but then we're going to talk about some practical ways that you can go about making sure your friendships are good. First reason why you need to have good friends is because we need encouragement. We need encouragement. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity." Okay, so good friends stick with you through the good times and the bad. In fact, when bad times come along, those were the times that friends were made for. I don't know how you are as a friend. When your friends are going through difficulties, those shouldn't be the times where you're like, I'm out. I'm going to take a step back. That's when you say, hey, this is what I was here for, to help you through these hard times, to encourage, to lift you up. Can you have non-Christian friends that are encouraging? Sure. I had friends in high school that weren't Christians. They're encouraging people. But can they encourage you in the same way that Christian friends can? No. Because we need spiritual encouragement, right? What about when I'm struggling with my spiritual walk? When I'm struggling with temptation? When I'm struggling with things I know I shouldn't be doing, and those worldly friends are like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why this is a problem. You seem fine to me. We need those friends that say, hey, I know you're trying to be better. I'm going to encourage you. I want to push you. I want to encourage you in that. Most of us have friends that encourage us. Maybe they just don't encourage us to do the good things, right? My friends growing up are the reason why I jumped a bike into a lake, right? And then why my brother jumped the same bike into the lake with it tied to his leg, because he didn't want to lose the bike. Yeah, that's a bad idea. You can figure out how that went. Lots of people jump in the lake to try to get a bike from pulling them to the bottom. Friends, we're encouraging, right? Just not always the good kind of encouraging. Okay, you need friends that encourage you in your spiritual life, who check in on you, say, how are you doing? You know, is there things I can pray for you about? Encourage you in that way. Worldly friends don't encourage you in that way. Again, they may be good people. They may be people that care about you, want the best for you, but they can't offer you that same encouragement that a brother or sister in Christ can. So we need encouragement. Secondly, we need good counsel, right? We need people who give us good advice. I don't think I was this friend. I don't think I was this friend. I think when my brother's like, bike, lake, I'm like, you got the rope? Okay, sounds good to me. Bad idea. This is what it says in Proverbs 19:20. It says, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Not all of us are good at that. Maybe you're not the kind that likes to take advice. Maybe you don't like to go to people for their opinion. I do, because I know I'm not always the smartest person in the room. Rarely am I. And so I like to go around and ask people, hey, what do you think on this? You need friends that are going to give you good advice, sound advice. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we hear this story about Rehoboam. King Rehoboam, he inherits the kingdom from his father. He's going to be the king. He asks some of the older, wise individuals in the kingdom, how should I rule? And they're like, look, your dad was kind of a stickler. Maybe you should lighten up a little bit. He's like, okay. Then he turns to his friends, and he's like, guys, what do you think? They're like, no, it's a bunch of sissies. You need to tighten your grip. You need to show these people who's boss. And so Rehoboam comes out, and he says, yeah, you thought my dad was bad. Buckle up. You know what happened? The kingdom split. Half the kingdom follows Jeroboam, all because he had some friends who gave some bad advice. You may have friends that give you bad advice. Hey, how should I handle this relationship? Well, what I would do. Hey, how should I handle this situation? Well, what I would do. You need friends that say, hey, what God would have you do is this. That's what good advice is, okay? Those are the kind of neat people you need in your life. Again, you may have friends that are non-Christians that give you good advice from time to time, but you need people who use God's word to help direct you in the way that you need to go. So we need encouragement. We need good advice. We also need accountability. We need people that are going to hold us accountable to the things that we say we're going to do, the kind of people that we say we're going to be. Okay, people who lift us up and say, hey, not quite there yet. I'm going to push you. I'm going to encourage you and challenge you to be better. Okay, again, you may have great friends that go to school with you that have nothing to do with Christ, and you say, hey, they help hold me accountable. But those are not the friends that when you graduate from high school and you go off to college and you say, hey, I need somebody to wake me up, make sure I get up and go to church on Sunday morning. They're like, what? I'm not going. Like, why? I'm not going to help you do something I'm not doing. I'm not going to hold you accountable in that. You need friends that are going to hold you accountable because they are seeking after the same things. They're saying, come on, you can be better than that. They're pushing you. They're not critiquing you. They're not judging you, but they're saying, you've called yourself to something better, and I'm going to push you toward that. That's what we need, friends. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I don't mean this to sound bad, but the reason some of us are not being sharpened is because we have dull friends. They're not sharpening us. We're like, I just don't understand why I'm not growing. I'm not being challenged. And then you look around at your friends, and they're like, hey. Like, help hold me accountable. All right. Don't do that. Push me. Challenge me. I really look up to some of the guys in my youth group right now who I know they have set a goal to read through the Bible together this year. They text each other every day. Hey, have you done your reading yet? Have you done your reading yet? Don't forget to do your reading. They're not just trying to check in on each other because they might want to, hey, I've done mine already. You haven't done yours? Wow. You must not love God like I do. No, these guys, they're trying to push each other. That's what we need. That's the kind of friendships we need. That's why it's important you have good friends, because you need encouragement, you need good advice, and you need those who are going to hold you accountable. Here's the hard part. That's not easy. I had youth ministers growing up that said, make good friends, as if I'm just going to be able to walk up to my old friends and say, hey guys, can't hang out with you anymore. My youth minister said, you guys are bad friends. And then I just walk over to this group, I'm like, you guys seem like good people. I'm in your friend group now. And they're like, okay, welcome. Anybody ever had that situation? I remember walking into middle school for the first time. I had just moved across town, didn't know anybody, and I walked into the lunchroom, and it was just like this overwhelming experience where I'm like, I don't know anybody. And so I'm like, this seems like a table of people with a seat open. And so I walk and sat down, and I look, and this guy goes, seat's taken. And I'm like, it's Forrest Gump all over again. He's like, sorry, man, somebody's sitting there. I'm like, okay. And I get up. I'm like, oh, man, this is like the worst thing I can imagine. And finally, just this one guy I had met in a class, he said, hey, are you the kid that said you like Mexican food? Because it was one of those classes where you say, I'm Jeremy, and you're supposed to name one fact about yourself. And I'm like, I like Mexican food. He's like, hey, Mexican food guy? Yeah, use it with me. That was my friend. I don't remember his name. I'm really trying. It was a good friendship, if you couldn't tell. Okay? Like, have anybody ever had that experience where you try to work your way into a group of friends and it's just like rejected? You're like, okay, that's not going to be my friends. So it's really easy to say choose good friends, as if you can just walk out to people and be like, I'm your friend now. I just need some good friends. You guys seem like good people. And they'll be like, yeah, that's great. Doesn't always work that way. I wish it did, but it doesn't. So if you got your Bible, turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. So the beginning of Acts chapter 9, it tells us the story of Paul's conversion. It was Saul. He sees this bright light. He talks to Jesus. He becomes a Christian. And I don't know how you think about it, but Paul was a pretty bad guy, persecuting Christians. And now he can't be around those people anymore. He can't be around the Pharisees because he switched sides. But you know the disciples aren't like, hey, Paul, come on over here. We know you were trying to kill us, but come over here. So this is what happens. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Now, your experience is probably different, because the reason people may not want to spend time with you is probably not because you were murdering Christians. But if you have established yourself as someone who has not a great reputation, there may be some within your youth group that look at you and say, my youth minister told me I'm supposed to have good friends, and that individual has a bad reputation, so I can't be around you. And they're like, well, but wait, but I was told I'm supposed to have good friends, and you guys are good friends. And they're like, yeah, you're going to have to find other good friends, because we can't be around. Like, if everybody's supposed to be good friends, who's supposed to be friends with the bad friend, right? And so Paul steps on the scene, and he's like, hey, guys, it's me, Paul. And they're like, yeah, okay, we remember Stephen. You were there when he was stoned. No thanks. So what's Paul do? He's trying to associate people who are going to encourage him, who are going to give him good advice, who are going to help hold him accountable, but he can't get in the group because they know his past life. So what happens? Barnabas, right? Good old Barnabas. If I ever have a son, I'm naming him Barnabas. I can say that because I'm never having a son. And so you can make empty promises like that. Verse 27, but Barnabas took a hold of him, brought him to the apostles, and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. So Barnabas takes Paul, brings him to the other disciples, and he says, guys, this is a changed man. He's ready to start a new life, and so we're going to accept him. And so they take him in. But it took someone saying, I'm going to be the one that brings Paul in. So I have a couple different messages depending on where you're at. Some of you or Paul in this situation. And the reason you don't have good friends is because you have established yourself as someone who does not have a great reputation. Now, that could be for lots of different reasons. I have found that more often than not, the kids that didn't have bad reputations fall in together. Why? Because those are the people that accept them. Like, they show up and they're like, I tried to be friends with these people, but they wouldn't accept me. And so this crowd took me in. And yeah, we don't make great choices, but they're nice to me. And so they're my friend. Okay, some of you are Paul. And so what you have to do is you have to have your transformation from Saul to Paul moment, where you show up now willing to be a different person. Some of you, if you have a bad reputation and you're not willing to leave that bad reputation behind, you're not going to make good friends. So you have to make that recognition that, look, I'm ready to leave that behind. I'm ready to put it behind me. And so you may have to make some sort of statement. Don't stand up in Bible class and be like, I'd like to make this statement. I need good friends now. Okay? But you may have to, whether it's to a close friend, somebody that you do know, maybe it's to your youth minister and kind of let him help facilitate it. You need to say, look, I want to make good friends, but I can't because I have established myself as someone who's not really a great friend. What can I do about it? Okay? And now, moving forward, I'm going to try to be different. Okay? I don't want that bad reputation anymore. That's why I'm getting the good friends. But until they see it, because they're like the disciples, they're still looking at you a little hesitant. They're like, I don't know. Is he for real? Okay? So you need to have that moment where you say, look, I'm leaving that behind, but I need some good friends. All right? Some of you, that's where you are. Some of you need to be Barnabas. I hope a lot of you will be Barnabas. To look for those people that say, you say, look, I think they're trying. I think they're trying to make connections. They've been coming to more youth stuff. I know they're not exactly like me, but they're coming, they're trying, and I can tell they're trying to work their way into the group, and it's just not seeming to happen. And you know what? I'm going to make it my job to come along them. I mean, listen to how it says about Barnabas. It says, but Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles. Look, we need people who are going to go in, they're going to get into people's lives and say, look, I'm bringing you in. Okay? We need Barnabases. Youth ministers, you may have to be the Barnabas. You may have to be the one that says, hey, look, I've noticed this kid. He's trying to make connections, and I'm going to try to help facilitate some of that. Parents, you can help with that. But the best way that's going to happen is if it happens between peers. People will say, hey, this person is different. And parents, I know I'm directing a lot of this towards the young people. This doesn't go away. The idea of spending time with good company, it doesn't go away. And so these truths are true for everyone. But you need to, some of us are going to need to be that Barnabas that goes out on a limb and says, I'm going to help bring you in. I'm sure each of you can think of someone in your youth group right now that you say, I know. They are trying desperately to have better friends, but for some reason our core group just won't seem to bring them in. I'm going to do that, okay? Some of you are the disciples, and I get it. You're weary, and because you've had guys like me stand up and say, you got to have good friends, make good friends. Bad company does what? Corrupts good morals. And so you see those individuals, and you're like, bad company, my mommy says not to be around you. Stay away. And I get it, because you're trying to protect yourself, and there's good to that. That's what I'm telling us to do. But when you see that person who has made a change and you've seen that Barnabas bring him in, that's when it's time to bring him in, okay? To accept them, to say, doesn't matter how different they are than me, doesn't matter what they're coming out of, I'm going to push them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to challenge them to be better. Now, if it's clear after a while that they're not wanting to leave that behind, if they put on a show like, I want to be better, and then you can tell pretty quick, I'm not saying they make one mistake. They hang out with you one time and one word comes out that they shouldn't, and you're like, well, that's it. We gave you a chance, you're out, because change takes time. But if time passes and you're like, they're not interested, then yeah, it's okay to say, look, until you're ready again, I just got to separate myself a little bit. That's okay. But when someone's ready to start making those changes, you as a group need to bring them in and help hold them close, all right? Guys, making friends is hard. It is. Some of you are like, I don't, good friends, bad friends, I don't know, it's just hard to make friends at all. How do you do it? Guys, we've got to do a better job of not just making good friends, but being good friends. You know, if what I'm looking for in a friend is someone who's encouraging, someone who's going to give me good advice, someone who's going to help hold me accountable, what kind of friend should I be? Same things, right? And so when you think about the people in your youth group, the people that you know, whether it's in your community or your school, if you're going to try to pour into their life, you need to make sure that you are the one doing the influencing and not the other way around. Make your core group of friends, those people that you spend the most time with, good Christian friends. Guys, it's great to have friends that are non-Christians. That's the only way that we are going to bring them out of the world and help show them the light of Jesus. But I'm just telling you, if your closest friends are non-Christian friends, that influence is going to eventually rub off on you. It's the truth. If you spend time with people who use foul language, eventually you're going to use foul language. If you spend time with people who are always joking about inappropriate things, that's going to be who you become. Rarely do you find a person that's like, my friends are nothing like me, but I'm close with them because they're my friends. You eventually become like that, okay? At some point you have to say, this is bad for me. And as much as I love these people, I need to get connected to a group that can help me be a better person. And then maybe over time I can start to bring them in so I can influence them more. Guys, I should have been done like 10 minutes ago. My throat's going. I want to offer you an opportunity, though. If you are struggling in any way, but certainly if you are ready to make that Saul to Paul moment where you want to say, look, I've been making some bad decisions. I'm ready to get moving forward in the right direction, but I need support. I need love. We want to offer you that opportunity. We also, as always, want to offer you the opportunity, if you're ready, put Christ on in baptism. We'd invite you to do that.